The second reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, which can be found in your pew Bible on page 197. Deacons, likewise, must be serious, not double-tongued, not indulging in much wine, not greedy for money. They must hold fast to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. And let them first be tested. Then, if they prove themselves blameless, let them serve as deacons. Women likewise must be serious, not slanderers, but temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be married only once, and let them manage their children and their households well. For those who serve well as deacons, gain a good standing for themselves and a great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. If anybody doesn't know me, I'm Sarah Tabor. And I've been serving as a deacon in this church with an occasional year off for good behavior since 1982. What I want to tell you is that from my perspective, this job of deacon is the best job in the house. The deacons of this church are some of the best folks we have. And we get to meet together once a month after church over a delicious lunch. And we have fun. Sure, we get some of the work of the church done also. But I want to say what a privilege it is to be with these folks, to work side by side with them, to get to know a bit more about their lives, and to get to know about a little bit more about the concerns of their parishes. And what a wide variety of folks we have. From 92-year-old Leota Parker, who is one of our most active and energetic deacons, to teenager Sam Cheng, whom you will hear from a little later in this joint sermon. We have a diverse group with many different talents, mutually respectful and sometimes a bit crazy. We laugh together and we have cried together. We put on the Easter pancake breakfast, the ice cream social, and 2 years ago we put on one of the best church picnics this church has ever seen. Special prayers are prayed for, parishioners are reached out to, and funds are loaned or given to worthy parish causes. Folks are given rides to church, flowers and memorial donations are sent, birthday, sympathy, and congratulation cards are sent, and food is brought to folks who are ill or just back from the hospital. So many of the little jobs of the church just get done, because it becomes second nature to give and to do, as we are part of the loving tradition that is the family of Old First. Making note of the title, not your mother's deacon, my husband cried out, "But you are my mother's deacon." That's not the point. The point is that our board of deacons are not the boring, stuffy stereotype from our mother's era. We do hone pretty closely to the moral codes suggested by the letter of Timothy. However, our board of deacons is not the same as the board of 10, 20, 30, or even 40 years ago, because we are constantly evolving, meeting the needs of a changing church and a changing congregation. For instance, back in the late 70s and the 80s, Old First had a very large population of frail elderly members, and Deacon Sally Doolin organized the rest of the deacons to make weekly visits to over 35 homebound members. And often we were doing far more than just visiting. During the beginning of the AIDS crisis, when so many of our members became sick, many more meals were needed, and both deacons and elders were called upon to share time on a round-the-clock basis, standing vigil with those who were dying. Then, when the Welcome Center first opened, many of us were there, not only providing food, clothing, and conversation, but also washing and massaging feet and offering clean socks. So the deacons are constantly changing as the church and its leaders and the needs of the congregation change. That's what I wanted to share with you all. And now I'll step down and give Deacon Craig Keeney a chance to tell his story.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Did anyone say that yet? We deacons started talking about we were going to have a theme for this Sunday, and we wanted to do something bold and something different. And when we came up with this theme that I'm not your mother's deacon, I think we were very successful. I had a terrible time trying to wrap my head around saying anything about that particular theme. It just didn't come to me. I kept thinking, well, probably unlike many other members of the church, my deacon history started panhandling on the sidewalk outside, and I'll bet none of you others had ever done that. So that made me unique, but that's where my ideas ended. My personal idea for a theme was, in the heart of every Christian lies a deacon. Someone just cares about others. The word deacon is like giving a title to a Christian, but I think a Christian himself is someone who just cares about other people. For instance, I don't think Michael Berg was necessarily ever ordained a deacon, but he touched my life and made profound changes in it for me. And I also have gone out and tried to touch other people's lives. One day, Bob Herman, I think it was Bob Herman, but I could hear Dan in the background, called me up and said, we're on the nominating committee, and we were wondering if you'd like to become a deacon, be nominated for a deacon. And I thought, boy, that's a wonderful idea. It was sort of an ego thing, actually, and it was somewhat boastful, but I thought, a few years ago, I was panhandling, and now I'm going to become an officer of this church. But I think one of the important things that your mother's deacon knew, and I quickly learned, was that there's nothing boastful or egotistic about being a deacon. I confess that I have not always been the best. But on the other hand, I've had my moments where I've touched the lives of someone, and they have gone on and done good things, and then other times they've died, and I've had to chase down an estranged family who had no idea where they were. And that's been hard, but there's something about sharing love and giving and trying to help that nourishes the soul. As I look out on this congregation, this very special church family, I see many deacons, some ordained and others like Michael, who may not be, but they carry the tradition from the heart of being a true deacon. When you walk past someone begging on the street and you visit with them for a minute, when you walk down the hall of a hospital and you wish there was something you could do to help every single one of these people that seem to be in distress. It's the deacons in our hearts speaking to us. And when we help others I really believe Christ nourishes our souls. In the tradition of Christians and deacons that have gone before me and have served, I hope I'm in some small way actually like your mother's deacon.
As a youth deacon, I lack much of the experience and knowledge and maturity of the adult deacons. Although I increase the age diversity of the deacons as a group, I sometimes neglect my duty to serve my parish. When I first contacted my parishioners, I did not know what I should say or what I should write, and I delayed sending letters to them for over 2 months. However, once I sent the letters, I discovered the simplicity of making a small impression in my parishioners' lives, and I soon received some responses to my letters. The most memorable response came from Euphemia Felicitas, who chided me for using too much postage on my letter. A few months later, I learned in service that she had passed away, and I attended her funeral in Daly City. During the course of the funeral, I learned from family and friends that she had occupied a high post in the postal service, and only on the way back home did I realize she probably knew the exact amount of postage for a certain letter because she was in the postal service. Although I began to do more as a deacon, I struggled to understand the meaning of being a deacon. Sometimes I associated the deacons with lunchtime meetings over intricate salads and arguments about what to name a sermon or when to have a sermon or who will bring the scooper for an ice cream social. You know, occasionally, I thought of an altercation with a friend about the definition of the word deacon. You know, both of us agreed that a deacon's purpose is service, but he emphasized how deacons are attached perhaps more than other members to their Christian faith and may emphasize too much on bringing people into the faith or caring about the attendance numbers of the congregation or who shows up in church. And that detracts from perhaps the actual purpose of the deacons to serve others. So I later looked at the passage in 1 Timothy to understand the role of a deacon. But the passage really didn't explain much to me. It only showed what, the morality of a deacon. And that somehow didn't link to service in the way I thought it could. So one day, just maybe around last Monday, I can't remember the exact day, I was walking home from tennis practice, sorting out thoughts for the sermon. And I noticed two fifth or sixth grade boys sitting on a staircase. When I was within 10 feet of one of the boys, that boy said, "You're my buddy." I didn't understand. I asked him what he meant, and he replied, "You were my buddy, right?" Suddenly, I knew that he referred to something in elementary school. When I was a third grader, every third grader was required to watch over a younger student and write letters to that particular student, visit that student perhaps every month or two, just talk about how school was going and so on. And for all this time, as a student, I never really agreed with the idea of the buddy system. It felt like a relationship that was too forced. The teachers ordered us to watch over some younger student whom we didn't even know. And yet, that boy all of a sudden started asking me about my life and about my tennis and how high school life is going, and I was surprised that he began a conversation with me like two old friends. And I had not talked to this boy for over 6 years. I could not even remember his name, and he claimed that he remembered all these different details about me, and he was correct in all these details. You know, I thought about the similarities between the deacons and this buddy system in the elementary school, but I couldn't tie this to the definition of a deacon. You know, the encounter between the boy and me subconsciously influenced many of the decisions I made during the rest of that week. For example, I started trying to make an extra effort to talk to people whom I rarely talk to, who are basically strangers to me. And what I realized is the relationships between a deacon and a parishioner, or an older buddy to their younger buddy, develops those traits and those morality described in 1 Timothy. I did not understand my role as a deacon until that little moment walking home from school just a week ago. Now, I didn't know how to tie all these ideas into the title of the sermon, Not Your Mother's Deacon. You know, most of my service as a deacon would be impossible without the help of my mom. She drove me to all the visits to people, the funeral, the retreat, helped me mail or deliver notes and cards to people. You know, I'm so grateful for all of her assistance through my time as a deacon. Although I am not your mother's deacon, my mom, as the deacon's mother, was the most important part of my service as a deacon.
The pastor will make a confession. We were in the deacon's meeting. They said, and I'm a little tired on Sunday, so I have that smarty pants in me. And they said, what are we going to call the sermon? I said, not my mother's deacon. And they said, okay. Got to be careful. But what I love about that, I think what I was trying to say and what they grasp is we have to think bigger. And I was going to do this last piece of the sermon because I thought, oh, I'm going to have to tie it up. You know, it's going to be all over the place. What's going to happen? I'm going to bring it on home. Well, guess what? I don't need to, do I? You don't really need me to tie it up. I just want to remind you that you heard the good news of Jesus Christ preached today by people that are called to serve. Now, I will tell you, some of these people had to be asked once or twice. Some of them said yes, and other people said, I don't think I'm ready. But what we believe in the Presbyterian Church is we believe God called these people to serve. To serve not because of their own need, but because Christ has asked them to serve, and they have. And what deacons tell me is they go out and they care, and they think they're going to really help someone, and what do they find out? They're helped in return. So you're part of this church that calls men and women, young and old, to be a part of serving Christ's body. Each of us has a part. Each of you are deacons. I love that. Inside of the heart of every Christian is a deacon. Because a deacon is one that shows the love and the care of Jesus Christ in a world that sometimes is a little hopeless. They do it in the church and they do it outside. Thanks be that we have people that share God's good news and God's love for each of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.